Well, so happy to be here this morning. How about you? Y'all happy to be here? I am. I can't think of any better place to be, right? Amen. Got one amen. All right. Pretty cool. Hey, well, I'll get an amen out of this, I bet. This is actually the last time, the last day, the last Sunday morning of our series about finances. Well, you know what? I enjoyed it. I don't know about you. It taught me a lot spiritually. It really has helped me out financially because now I take a look and I view things differently now. We started this series out with saying and telling you God doesn't want anything from you. He really doesn't. He doesn't need you. He really doesn't. He's got everything. He owns everything. It's all of his. So he doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you. And the reason why he does that is because he knows whatever has you, has your heart, right? It does. You know what? If I want to find you, I just go and look for where your heart is. If I want to find your heart, I just go look where your stuff is. And if you truly see, he wants your heart. He doesn't want your stuff to have your heart. He doesn't want your money to have your heart. He wants your heart, right? And I want to give him my heart. I want to make sure that the rabbit trail that leads him back to him, when he follows me and he wants to see what has my heart, it leads back to him. Because everything is his anyway, right? And the sooner we figure that out, the better off we're going to all be. But we've been talking about financial balance, and there are three laws of balance, and I'm not going to really go over them a whole lot. I know there are a couple of new people here this morning, but the three laws of physical balance, you know, is, and I held that pole up and I was balancing it. First of all, you have to have a reference point, and the reference point is the fact that I got to know where my money's going, okay? You got to be knowing where your money's going. If you don't know where your money goes, you don't have a reference point, okay? The second one is constant correction. You have to make constant corrections in your financial world. And then the last one is a clear objective, and that clear objective is to honor God. To honor God with our finances, to honor God with our life and everything that we have. And the last few weeks we've been talking about this constant correction thing, because we skipped from reference point to let you know that, you know what, you need to be, and I hope everybody's still doing this. I hope everybody is writing down where all their money's going, because it surprised the heck out of me, you know, that I'm putting all this money out and I look at it and say, wow, gee, I didn't know I spent this much for that. And then I make that, and then the second week we talked about the objective, a clear objective, and the clear objective to our finances to honor him, right? To honor God. And then we began talking about this constant correction thing, and we began with debt. We need to get rid of our debt. And then we talked about generosity, and last week we talked about discontentment. Discontentment. And we talked about what was the word that you have to remember. Awareness. You don't know what you want until you see it. You're totally satisfied with the car you're driving until you see a nicer one. Totally satisfied with the washing machine that you have until you see another one. Totally satisfied with the TV that you have until you see the flat screen, right? Or the HD TV and what all that. And, you know, if you take a look back there, Roger did a nice job of putting our new TV up, right? But I just want you to know that the church wasn't aware that that was out there, and we took some money and bought that because Roger donated that one. And then the one that's in the other one, can I say it? Mark donated that one. Mark and Tammy donated the one in there. So it wasn't like, oh, we got to have it. We got to have it. We got to upgrade. You know, that's another story. Anyway, we finished that. And today I want to finish by suggesting a simple way to organize. And today's word, like last week's word was awareness, today's word is prioritize. Okay, prioritize. Say it. Prioritize. And if I ask you next week, and if you don't know that, you're all in trouble. okay? Prioritize and possibly reorder your financial world, okay? That's what we want to do. Today, we want to kind of take a look at what we do, how we spend our money, and how we do things, and we want to reorganize, and I brought this little thing up here, and I want to show y'all. Y'all, got it? God's ultimate goal. No, that's actually the class we're having. We're having a wonderful time in our class. We're learning an awful lot. There's five basic things. Five basic things. Can you see all this over here? You see that? I tried to write it as big as I could. Can you see that from over here? Okay. Anyway, there are five basic things that you can do with money. Period. Just five. Spend, repay debt, pay taxes, save, and give. And if I were to ask everybody in this place today, you would say this is exactly your order of prioritizing things, right? Yeah, a couple of people said no, but I think, you know, if you really think about it, this is how we do it. We get our paycheck and we spend it. And then we repay our debt because we absolutely have to. And then we pay taxes or you'll get put in jail. And then you save if there's anything left over, and then you give the pennies that are left over after that. So it's spend, okay? So if you say spend, this is me, right? That's me. Say me. Spend, that's me. That's for me. Repay debt, that's me, right? Okay? Pay taxes, that's the government. That's America. That's how we help America out, pay taxes. Save is me for down the road later on, right? That's me. And then give God and others last. That's how we prioritize most people, okay? Me, United States, me, God and others. That's how we do it, right? Pretty much. We spend, we repay it, we pay taxes with it, we save it, and we give if there's anything over, left over. And that is generally the order in which we manage our money and our accounts. Two things govern what percentage goes toward those five categories, right? Do you even know what percentage you spend? 100. That's right. 100% of it you spend. Priorities and self-control. This amounts to me first. Me first. This is the way we do it. Me first. This is me because I'm forced to do this. I got to repay my debt because if I don't, I can be in trouble. This I can be put in jail for, save and give. So, this amounts to me now, me later, me second, America third, God and others last. This me first approach shuts God out. We close the door on God. Okay? We give him our leftovers. That shuts God out. Worse than that, it's offensive. Because we end up offering God our leftovers. God gets what's left over. If I have something left over, I will give it to you, God. Okay? That's all you're going to get, what I have left over. Because after all, I have to do this first. But that doesn't stop us from asking God. Even though he's fifth place, when something happens, you're on your knees and you say, oh, God, help me financially. God, if you'll only do this, please, God, help me sell my house. Please, God, help me pay this bill. Oh, please, God, help me keep my eyes on, my lights on. Oh, God, please, 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 God, even though you're fifth, please help me. Oh, God, please help me. You bring him into your finances after all else has failed, after everything has failed. We want a blessing. We want him to God, I'm out of work. I'm out of work, God. Please provide me with employment. Please help me with tuition, whatever it is. We want him involved in our finances as a helper, not to be used to honor him. Your financial priorities represent an open door or a shut door. If your priorities are like this, you have a closed door. In the Old Testament and in the New, priorities reflect the condition of our heart. This priority will say that it's all about me. It's all about me. That's the condition of my heart. And that impacts God's willingness to become active in our personal life. What I want you to do is, I want you to turn to Micah. The book of Micah. Turn to the middle of your book. Your Bible, let it fall open, and then turn left, and you'll find Micah. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Now, 400 BC, the prophet Micah writes a letter to the leaders of Israel. He accuses them of bringing their leftovers, their diseased animals to be sacrificed. They would never, the stuff that they were bringing, the blind, the lame, the stuff, that the animals that they were bringing for their sacrifice, they wouldn't even give to their guests. But they're offering them up to God. They were saying, you know what, God? You've got my leftovers. And Micah was pointing out and he's saying, you know what? Israel, you're giving this old diseased animal to God for a sacrifice? Your leftovers? You're not giving him the first fruits of your take? No, you're giving him the leftovers? They were dishonoring God. But they were wondering why God would not intervene for them. God, why aren't you helping me out? Why are you letting my enemies invade? Why are you not giving us the victory on certain things? But yet they're giving God leftovers. And they're going to God praying, saying, oh God, please help us this. Help us for this and help us for that. But we're going to keep you here. But we need you. Micah chapter 3. Malachi. Did I say Micah? Yeah. I meant Malachi. Don't get me confused. All right, Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Now, this is God speaking through the prophet Malachi. It says, and he's speaking to the nation of Israel. He says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances. He's saying, you know what? You are far away from anything that I commanded you to do. That's it. You're far away from it. He says, and have not kept them. You're not keeping the sacrifices. You're not keeping the stuff that I've commanded you to do. Then he says, return unto me. God's saying, return unto me. And I will return unto you. It's not, I'll come to you so that you'll come to me first. No. It's you come to me first with your stuff. Come to me with the sacrifices that are proper, and then I'll come to you. Open your heart's door, okay? Open it up to me. Return to me. And then I'll return to you. He says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? How do we return, God? How do we return? How do we show our devotion to you so that you will be devoted for us? How do we do that, God? Verse 8 through 10. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now, let's stop right there for a second. In tithes and offerings. Most people here know what a tithe is. A tithe is 10%, okay? Period. 10%. 10%. That's what a tithe is. Israel, at that time, had two tithes. Two 10%s. Okay? Number one, the Levites, was for the Levites. You would take up 10% of your stuff, whatever it was, your offering, and you would bring it to the temple. That would pay the priests for doing what they needed to do. That would be take care of the temple, making sure that the lights were on and everything was going on. Make sure that they had sacrifices. Make sure there was stuff for the temple, okay? That was your first 10%, went to the temple. The second 10% was every year they would have a big festival. Great big festival in Jerusalem. And they'd have a big feast, and everybody would eat, and they would sacrifice and do all this. It was a great time. And then every third year, they would take that second tenth, they would save it, keep it at home for the poor. Okay? They would give that out to the poor. All right? So they were given like 20%. This was to be of their first fruits. This was to be their priority. So, verse 9, it says, you are cursed with a curse. Wow. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He's saying, you know what? You're cursed. You're cursed because you're robbing me. You're giving me all your disease and your leftovers. And then it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be meat in mine house. Bring it, so that there might be meat in my house for sacrifices, for the priests, for everything. And prove me. God says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He's saying, prove me. He says, test me. Now, this isn't the same thing when Jesus says, you know, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. That's not the same thing. That's us trying to get our way with God. This is God saying, you know what? Prove me. Go ahead and give me this stuff. Give me your first fruit. Give me your good stuff. And then I'll show you. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour them down on you. Prove me. This was an extension of God's original promise to Moses 900 years earlier. Put me at the top of the list with your stuff, and I'll show up. That's what he said. You know what, guys? Put God first, the top of your list, and I'll show up. There's a lot of discussion about whether tithing is New Testament. That's not my point. Okay? So get that out of your head. That's not my point. My point is priority. Where are your priorities? Jesus repeats this idea in the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to take a look at, and this is where we began this series. Take a look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. This is where we began this whole series. Verse 24. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and manna. You can replace manna with money, okay? You can't serve two masters. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve money. But if you serve money, that means you hate God. That's what it says. It's what it says. That's not Pastor Joe speaking. It's saying, you know what? You serve God, you hate me. You hate me. You've shut the doors. It's the same message in verse 31 and down through 33. 31 through 33 in Matthew chapter 6. It says, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He's saying, Don't think about all that stuff. Don't think about what I'm going to eat. Don't think about, because none of us really, you know, we're pretty rich. We're pretty, all of us are rich, right? I mean, you've got to, you take a look at some of the third world countries, anybody in the United States, if you are figured out a way to eat inside, live inside, you're rich compared to the rest of the world, okay? So don't worry about all that. For after all these things do the Gentiles. Basically, what that means is the unbeliever. If you worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and all that stuff, you're thinking like an infidel. You're thinking like somebody that doesn't believe in God and that God is in control. You are like an unbeliever. That's what he's saying. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So, it goes on and it says, but, in 33, but, in the meantime, while you wait in the gap, assured of his concern and involvement, it says, but, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, try me out. Now, that Old Testament stuff, that was all written for the Jews, okay? But I'm telling you, it's what we do and we prioritize. Who is going to be first in our life? Prioritize God financially. Here. You want to see what it should look like? Give. Save. Pay taxes. Repay debt. And spend what's left over. God and others, give. God and others, give. Save for your future. Save, and I'm not talking about the stuff that your company makes you do, put in a 401k or whatever. I'm talking about actually saving. And then if you do these two right, if you give and if you save, what happens here? Taxes go down, right? Right? It does. This goes down, so it doesn't make any sense not to do these two. If you do this, you give, tax deductible. If you do this and you do it the right way with so many avenues, you can lower these and it doesn't become too much of an issue, and that makes a whole lot more sense. And then repay your debt, get rid of that, pay it all down, and then spend what you have left on yourself. It only makes sense. Prioritizing God's interests financially is an invitation to his activity in your life, because he waits to be welcomed. When you do it this way, you are welcoming God into your life. The direction or priority of my money reflects the direction or priority of my heart. To honor God, our priorities must represent his priorities. Taking our cue from his son, God, and others. Give. It means we flip the list. Give, save, pay taxes, repay, or just simply this. This is about as simple as it gets. And if you could do this, and if you could learn to do this, give, save, live. That's basically it. Give, save, live. Now you guys are all thinking, well, Pastor Joe's just doing this because he needs more money in the church and whatever. No. You do whatever you want to do. Because God will, there are people who believe in this ministry, who give to this ministry, because they believe in what we are doing here. Okay? So if you want to give to the Boy Scouts, you go give to the Boy Scouts, you give to the United Way, you do whatever you want. But you give. Give to God and give to others. So that takes all your excuse. It's not Pastor Joe teaching and preaching about money, okay? That takes all your excuses away. Then save, okay? And then spend what's left over. And if you do it in this way, God says, you know what? I will then, since I'm not getting your leftovers, I'm going to come into your life and I am going to help you. Just test him. Test him. Prove him. Give before you spend. Write the check first. God, I want to make you and make sure that your kingdom and your concern gets funded first. That's what that says. God, I want to fund your kingdom first, not mine. I'll figure out a way to live on the rest, and I'm sure we will. We'll figure out how we live on the rest. I'll tell you what, I've been doing it this way for a long time. Anybody see me hurting? No. Because God has been good. And anybody that you will talk to that does it this way, they're not hurting. Because God has blessed them. God has been with them. And when they have a need, God makes sure that need is filled. No more leftovers. No more leftovers for you, God. Give before you, pay your debt. And you've robbed God long enough. Write the next check. To you, save. Give first, save second, no matter how small. This is a habit. Live on the rest. Adjust. You need to think percentages, not just dollars. Don't think about how much money. Oh, look, I've given all this money, because that really doesn't make any difference. The system needs to be ebb and flow with your income. You are living off some type of percentage, no matter whether you know it or not. You don't know what it is. Why? Because you choose instead to allow the government and consumption to tell you what percentage you're going to live off of. Percentage is important to Jesus. Take a look at Matthew chapter 12. And we'll be concluding here in a second. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 43. This is how important percentage is to God and not the actual dollar figure. He says, "And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in to the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." See, percentages mean a whole lot, because those priests, those Sadducees and everything, and the Pharisees, they were putting lots of money in there. But she gave everything. And he says she gave more, because it was only, what, a couple of mites, right? Just a little bit, just a very little bit of. He's talking percentage. He's saying, look, she put in a lot more than you did. You just gave out of the abundance. You gave me the leftovers. I don't want your leftovers. I want you. Because if your leftovers, you know, because he knows that whatever has you has your heart. Just flip your priorities. It's an invitation. Try it for 3 months. Take notes. Pay attention to what happens. Journal it. Save. Give, save, live. Now, it's a new system. I don't know, Ron. Review the three laws of balance, which would be reference point, constant correction, and what's the other one? Okay. Determine to honor God with everything. Make those constant corrections. Adjust your debt, your savings, giving awareness, priorities around giving, save, and live. And your life will be richer. Your relationship will be richer. Your heart will be bigger. And God will honor that. Imagine what he could do. What would happen if all of us would decide to go ahead and give what we need to give, what we could do as a church? Just think what we could do. It would be awesome. and what that message would be to our county, Fayette County. Folks, if you're a Christian, this is not an add-on. This is an essential. You can't be a wholehearted follower without surrendering your stuff and the way you manage it. So let's all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know about you, but I made some changes in my life over the last 6 weeks. I didn't have to make many, but I made them. I made them anyway. I said, you know what, God, you've always been coming first, but I'm going to even make it even more for you. I'm going to make it even more noticeable that I love you that much because you have given me so much. So I'm going to always, like I said, give, save, and live. And you need to do that. So if you're here for the first time and you really, you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, you don't know what we're talking about. You don't even know what, you're not a Christian. You've just wandered in somehow. You've either been invited by a friend who loves you enough to bring you to church. And I know this message this morning was more based on finances and things like that, but this is over now. This is six weeks is over. We're going to start a new series in a couple of weeks, and Pastor Ron probably is going to preach next week and give you a break from me, and yay. But I'm really glad you're here. I really am. I'm glad that you've taken the time to come and just hear a little bit about what's important to God. And I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. If you're here for the first time and you don't know Jesus Christ, and you know, the Holy Spirit can do wonderful things. They can be speaking to you right now and saying, you know what, I need you to invite me into your heart. I need you to have a relationship with me. And I want to just pray a simple first step prayer to invite Christ into your heart. And it might just be the first time that you've ever done this or aware of it. But what this basically is, it's just saying, God, I'm going to open my heart to you, and I'm going to invite Jesus into my heart because I know I'm a sinner. I know that my sin separates me from you. I know that because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross at Calvary, that he's forgiven me for all my sins. And I know all of that, but I've never really intentionally invited him in. So today I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you'd like to invite Jesus into your heart this morning, why don't you pray this prayer with me? Dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from you. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, anybody pray that prayer this morning? Anybody? I see those hands. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else pray that prayer? All right. Well, if you prayed that prayer, or even if you prayed it and didn't raise your hand, we have a couple of people in the back who are ready to talk with you about any decision you made this morning. And if you'd like to, if you need some prayer or if you need some information about what you just did, get to know Jesus a little bit better. Steve's waiting in the back, and Renee's waiting in the back if you're a woman. And they would just love to take you in a nice private room and just discuss whatever your need is. Other than that, the altar's open. And I think that since this series is over, I think that we all need to make some adjustments. I think that we all need to make some decisions. So why don't you come on up and kneel at the altar and ask God, say, God, what do you want me to do? What will you have me do? What is it that would honor you in my life? Don't delay. Come down. Pastor Ron's going to sing a verse of invitation. Don't delay. Come on down and see what God wants for you.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Jesus, we all to him.
Gracious God, we just come to you. Lord, may we be a congregation that always puts you first. That if you follow our trail, if you would follow our heart, it would lead back to you, Father. That our priorities are right. That we get it right, starting right now. Right this very moment. God, I want to do it right. I want to make you first. You and others first. It's what you command us to do, Father. Thank you so much for teaching us this last 6 weeks, God, for showing us that you really do want something for us, God, that you really don't want anything for us, but you want our hearts. And whatever has our heart has, or whatever has us has our heart, God, we know that. We want you to have our heart. May we be a congregation that desires that. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.